let me tell you what it's for. It's for a magazine called Sports Collectors Digest, which is primarily aimed at baseball card and football card collectors. But in addition to all the card collecting information, it has features in it usually every week, interviews or other articles on former players, and this is where this will appear. And one of the sometimes people consider it a drawback, and sometimes I think it's a good feature, you will receive an increased load of fan mail for probably 2 or 3 weeks after it appears, if that's all right.
Well, I certainly don't want any more than I'm getting.
Well, okay, well, it'll pick up.
I don't care for it to pick up. I don't want my address.
Well, your address is not published. No, sir, your address is not put in the article at all. But the addresses, as you know, are available through certain publications.
Yeah, I know. Everybody makes a big buck on all of us, and we don't get nothing in compensation. But, of course, you're making a living out of this, but these others are making a lot of money out of making. Putting these pictures and selling these pictures without our consent.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I will ask you. I don't want to do anything that will inconvenience you or you don't want done. So if you want me to say in there that you do not wish to be written, I will do that. Or if you
provoke them even more.
Well, okay. If you'd rather not do it, then that would be, you know, that's whatever you want's fine with me. If you don't want to have the interview, then that's fine.
It doesn't matter because you're making a buck out of it, which is fine. I don't mind you making it. I don't want those big card sharps to, you know, that sell that stuff.
That is, that's a crying shame. I agree with you. I don't like that aspect of it. I have a son who, well, first he would kill to play baseball, but his whole life is centered around baseball. And he's asked players, he's written players for their autograph, and you know, he wants them for himself. He thinks that just about every baseball player that ever lived is great. So many of them don't respond or don't send back what he sends them. A couple of them write letters back that know that they won't sign because the pictures are just going to be sold or something like that. And it's a shame for the kids who really want
an
autograph.
I understand. I mean, I could tell who's selling them and who's not. They usually send you more than two.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I don't know if you remember, I'm sure you do, Chuck Deering played with the Orioles.
I know him real well.
Chuck told me that one fellow from New York sent him 50 of the same 8x10 photographs.
Yeah.
And asked him to sign.
It's crazy.
Yes, it sure is. Well, okay, can we go ahead? And if there's anything you don't want to answer or don't want to say, just please say so.
Don't send me more than one. I won't sign more than one.
Okay, well, we'll definitely put that in by all means. Well, first, a long time ago, probably longer ago than either you or I care to remember, the A's had just moved to Kansas City.
And yeah.
You had been one of my favorite players. I wrote you.
Well,
I told you that, and you sent me an autographed picture. This was, what, 55, I guess.
Yeah.
I was 12, and I still have the picture, as a matter of fact. I always thought you were a great player.
Thank you.
How old were you when you moved to this country?
I was six.
I was
six in March, and we came in April.
Why did you move? Why did you come here?
Well, because out of need, financial need, my parents came over. They had a small farm over there, but they figured they could improve their lot by coming here.
Mm-hmm. How many children were there?
Only one.
Just you.
Yeah.
And
poor Brian.
Well, I've got three, and they're all spoiled. I don't think it makes a difference. You came directly to Pennsylvania?
Yes.
What did your father do when he got here?
He worked at the New Jersey Zinc Company at the time.
Uh-huh. Then did you indeed improve your lot coming here?
To a degree, yes. I certainly did, and my parents did, but they worked very, very hard, and so did my wife's parents. Everybody worked hard here to get ahead, you know. save a couple of bucks and
sure.
buy a home and stuff like that.
Did your wife's family come from Europe?
Yes.
Okay. When did you, well, I guess 6 years old, I guess you just started playing ball with the other kids.
Yeah, just in back lots. At least we had lots in those days. Now they got to walk 3 miles to, or have a ride take to go to a little park or something.
Yeah, that's, well, we're fortunate enough, we have a small farm, and we've got the kids can go out, we just take the animals out of the field and they can play ball, but it's 7 miles into town. There's just no, you know, it's a real aggravation. Well, Connie Mack signed you when you were 18, is that right?
Right.
And
I was 17.
17, huh? Still just a babe in arms. Were you still in high school when he signed you? I know he signed a lot of boys that were still in high school.
Yeah.
And then what, you graduated before you started playing?
Yes, I graduated and went to Fredericksburg, Maryland in the Eastern Shore League.
And hit the daylights out of the ball.
Well, I was pretty fortunate. I had a good year.
Now, there's a story I've heard that I don't know if it's true, that Connie Mack brought you up at the end of that first season and used you as a pinch hitter, but somehow had failed to sign you to a major league contract. Is that right?
There's a lot of word around about that. That was that they were trying to put me into the for decades, you know.
Uh-huh.
But the real story is a decade starts with year one, right?
That's right.
Well, I played in 40 and 41 all the way through and into 61. So that would be the kind of decade that they're talking about.
Well, that did it. Unfortunately, I'm afraid people are going to see 2000 and going to start celebrating the new century then. That's not the new century, but I agree with you. You did make the four decades then.
Well, according to that, but not, no, I just made the three. According to the way baseball people do it, you got to have the 30s, the 40s, the 60s, you know.
Yeah, I understand. So technically you did, but not according to what the rules are. Right. But was that true? You did pinch hit and then they scratched you from the book because you didn't have the contract?
That's water over the dam, and I don't want to talk about that.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Over the years, you had a reputation as being one of the top hustlers in the game, and more than one time you hustled right into a brick wall somewhere.
Well, that was out of necessity. I mean, you're trying to win a ball game for helping the team, but I only did it when it was a close ball game or anything like that, where it could mean the ball game, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure. How many times did you hit a wall? I remember twice.
I don't know. I hit a few, maybe twice a year. You know, you hit them, and nothing happens. But I got hurt about four or five times, yes.
I don't remember who the baseball announcers were when I was a kid. It was always the recreated game because I lived out in California then and we didn't have anything but, you know, the recreations they used to do. Whoever the announcer was, always, whenever your name was mentioned, he would say that you were probably the biggest hustler in the game. Is that true? Were you as...
Well, I don't know what they considered me, but I always tried the best I could. I try to win every ball game any possible way that I could, but sometimes I screwed up too, you know.
Well, you know, that's unavoidable when you're trying all out. You had an outstanding batting eye. You had over a 3-to-1 walk to strikeout ratio, and your lifetime on base percentage was .399. Was this something you developed, or were you just born with a good eye?
Well, I was taught by the old timers to get a strike zone that you could have, you know. And when I found my strike zone, which was early in life, you know, in my career, that helped. And you got to know your strike zone. And sometimes a walk is just as important as a base hit.
Sure.
Well, you're getting on base, see?
Mm-hmm. There were, 2,500, well, no, that was actually in almost 700 plate appearances when you count the walks and everything else. And it's, today, that's an amazing figure. Back then, it wasn't quite as amazing, but still was so much better than the league average. You also had some speed on the bases. You played in a time where stolen bases weren't emphasized. Yet you had
when you were behind.
Well, you stole them when you needed them.
Right.
Yeah. Now, today, if they get on base, they're going to run to the next base, whether it helps the team or not. What do you think, if you had been asked to steal like they do today, what do you think you could have done?
I really don't know. It all depends. See, we played the percentages. Now, these kids, they're running, they're fast. They're fast, and they study the pitchers more so than I used to study pitchers, but I probably think they study them more intensely than I used to.
Yeah, I guess.
Think, I'm not sure.
Well, some of these boys today probably wouldn't be there if they didn't have, or couldn't steal, and they're going to have to just to maintain their jobs.
Yeah.
Late in your career, you stopped playing the field too much and became pretty much a
pinch hitter
and did an excellent job for several teams. This takes a different attitude entirely from playing every day. You know, if you make an out in the first inning, you're going to see the guy again in the third or fourth inning. Was this something that came natural to you, or did you have to adjust your thinking?
Well, yes, you have to adjust your thinking. You got to prepare yourself. You see the situation in the ball game and how the pitcher's going, and if there's men on bases, or if they want you to just get on, you know, like the tying run or something.
Mm-hmm.
And or you could even tie it with a home run, but if they don't pitch, you know, they pitch around you a little bit, you can't hit a pitch that you can't handle for a home run. You might
sure
get a single, but take the walk.
Well, you did. I don't know if you still do, but at one time you held the record for most career walks by a pinch hitter. I know you still hold the American League season record.
I really don't know.
Your on-base percentage as a pinch hitter, I don't remember what it was, but it's...
You know more about me than I know my
I got to look this up. I talk to usually one or two guys a week, and I try to find out as much as I can. It'd be pretty embarrassing to call up and not know anything. I may be saying something wrong. I think your on-base percentage as a pinch hitter was actually higher than your on-base percentage as a regular player, which was very high anyhow.
Well, I really don't know. I mean, I know that that kept me in the game a little longer.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I expect it did. You were pinch hitting. I think 1 year you pinch hit over 80 times in one season, which you got to be delivering, or they're not going to use you that many times. You played 20 years, is that right?
Right.
Okay. Who was the best one player that you saw, or one hitter that you saw in that time?
Well, you can go for hitting only, you know. And he wasn't too bad a fielder as Williams. And then you have DiMaggio, you have Willie Mays, you have Stan Musial. You could name hundreds of, not hundreds, but a lot of good hitters and consistent hitters, you know. And generally speaking, I would consider the best in my day, like Mantle, you know, all those guys were so good. They were extraordinary people, I even admired the extraordinary ones, and even the ones that weren't extraordinary that put out all the time.
Mm-hmm. You had an advantage a lot of guys, I guess, didn't have. You saw both leagues and, I guess, had a good cross-section of the best in both leagues. And which league did you prefer?
It didn't matter as long as I was playing in the majors.
The guys throw the ball the same way, huh?
Yeah. Well, you just study the pitchers, see?
Yeah.
You got to study the pitchers, because if you don't, then you don't know how to react to them when you get up to the plate.
So the first time through seeing the pitchers is pretty tough, but you learn from it.
Well, you watch them on the side, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time you see a pitcher, you see him warming up on the side, you know, and you're usually, when I used to lead off, I watch him throw, and most of the pitchers want to throw the ball for a strike. So I was ready at all times.
Mm-hmm. Get ahead of them before they get ahead of you.
That's right. Oh, definitely. Don't let them get ahead of you, then they play with you.
Yeah, that's a sure way to shorten your career. Who was the best pitcher you saw in your 20 years?
Well, you can mention, several dozen, I guess, but you got guys like Feller and Newhouser and Spud Chandler and there's so many. Cleveland had four of them.
Yeah, that's true.
You could mention each team had three or four outstanding pitchers that were troublesome, and you were happy to get one for three out of the situation. You know, a walk and then maybe one hit.
Uh-huh.
Even if it's one for four or one for five, you get one walk. That brings down brings your average up, actually, and brings down your time at bat.
Sure. Okay, well, you mentioned Hal Newhouser. A lot of people are critical of him because his two biggest years were 44 and 45, but still, he was a 20-game winner a couple of times after the war. Does he belong in the Hall of Fame, in your opinion?
You have to look up his records. He probably might make it, I don't know. There were a lot of guys that pitched long periods of time and should make it. And maybe never won 20, but they won 16 and 17 games. You understand what I mean?
Oh, yeah, 16 or 17 wins a year for 10 years, beats 20 wins a year for 2 years, and then several of 5 and 6. Yeah. I know what you mean. Well, Newhouser won, I don't have his record. I think he won like 205 or 207 games. His earned run average was around 3 for his
entire career. He was good when I seen him, I'll tell you.
Yeah, well, I guess, you saw him. You were in the service during his two best years, so you saw him after that.
Yeah,
and he still won 20. Who was the one toughest pitcher for you to handle?
Well, Feller, I guess, would be one of the most difficult. And I just mentioned one. Feller is the most outstanding one in my mind at this time.
Mm-hmm. Did you? I guess you were there when Sandy Koufax was there, but he wasn't.
He was wild when I pitched.
Yeah, he was just starting out.
Yeah. But Drysdale was tough. That's another one. You know,
mm-hmm.
when he was just a young kid, too. You know, when I was with the Phillies, he was tough. And you can mention so many, but I played with Koufax when he started to win. You know, that
mm-hmm.
was great.
I bet it was something to watch. I lived out there in Southern California when he started his good years.
Not only that, a great personality. Both of them, you know, drives the on him.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you finally retired, you coached a while, you scouted a while. Did you sign anybody as a scout that we'd know?
Not in the major leagues. They went to AAA and they... Well, see, when I started to scout, they started to this draft business.
And yeah.
That kills your potential of getting a number one draft choice a lot of times. And maybe guys weren't number one, you know.
Yeah.
But you don't get the choice that you would get otherwise.
All you can do is scout and make recommendations, and it's just a luck of the draw.
That's all you do is just make recommendations, put them in, and then they have a follow-up scout to check what they call cross-checkers and see what they think. Like, if they saw them in a bad day or something, then they don't put the evaluation on them like I did, you know.
Yeah, that's, I think, a weakness. You can go out and you can watch a boy
50 times in
And then they send somebody out to, and he goes 0-4, or he loses his stuff in the first inning, and yeah, that's unfortunate.
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah.
But it helps to, it does help the lower classification of clubs, you know, the ones that are in last place and all that.
Yeah, the guys with the money don't get everybody as
right.
they could. Did you, over your career, did you save souvenirs from your career?
No, I never did. My wife and some friends, they save. I get some from people now that I'm saving, you know, but I never did save anything, really, during the time I played, except a couple of bats that I was going to give to my kids to play even at home, you know what I mean?
Yeah. How many kids did you have?
I had 4 children, 2 boys and 2 girls.
Did either of the boys have baseball inclinations?
Well, yeah, they were pretty good college players. Well, one was already, he would have been given a chance to play, but he had a college scholarship, and the college scholarship was more at that time than what they were going to offer to play, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I says to him, well, it's up to you, but I would rather have you go to school. And then if you develop in school, then that would be great. But then he had to start wearing glasses, you know, all that reading in school and all, I guess, or something, you know. His eyes changed a little bit. So
that can sure do it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think the education.
I'm happy that they all went to school, college.
Yeah, that's great. That's something that, you know, they've got that. An arm can go, or
yeah,
yeah.
Well, they're doing pretty decent for themselves right now. They're doing pretty good.
That's good. Are they around?
The boys
around
are
there?
MBAs and CPAs, you know, stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, good.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, the girls finish college too.
Yeah,
good. That's something you can be very proud of.
Nursing college, you know, not nursing college, but the one did, and the other one went through. Well, what do they call that? Business college. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's what.
How many grandkids do you have?
6.
6.
I have 5 girls and 1 boy.
Oh boy.
1 boy.
Any more on the way?
Not that I know of.
They haven't told you any.
I think they're finished. Let's see, 2, 3, and 1. And the other one, I don't know whether she can have any or not.
Well, that's a shame. Kids are, I don't know, they drive you crazy, but they're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask just a couple more questions. Since you started playing professional baseball, it's been over 50 years. There have been a lot of changes. What do you look on as the most significant change?
Oh boy. Well, the artificial turf.
Mm-hmm.
That's, and then the ballparks are completely different, you know. See, the artificial turf, they can't slow the ball down like they used to with the regular turf. They leave the grass grow and then wet it down real hard so a ground ball can't get through the infield.
Mm-hmm.
But artificial turf, it slips through. And then the kids have to be play deeper now, but the ball gets on them quicker.
Sure, but there's no such thing as a bad bounce.
No, that's true, except on the edges.
Yeah, oh, and some of those are horrible. One of your contemporaries I talked to, it's been several months ago, Ray Boone, said he thought how great that artificial turf looked. It was so pretty, he thought it'd be so nice to play on. And one time he was asked to play in an old-timers game. I don't remember where he told me it was, but he said it was miserable down there. It was so hot.
Yeah.
And the ball, back when he played, he said the ball, he could see it come off the bat. He knew where it was going. And nowadays, the ball is by him before he even saw it hit. It was so
Your
fast.
Your reflexes have to be real quick. That's
yeah.
why you play a little deeper, too.
Mm-hmm. I remember it was not unusual back when I was a kid. A play at first base was was close because of the real grass. Now the ball gets to the infielder so quickly, you don't really see too many close plays anymore.
Once in a while, the faster kids will.
Yeah, but the average runner is beaten by a couple of steps.
Right.
Okay, one more question. You were to go back to high school, would you do this all again?
Oh, absolutely. Hey, baseball gave me a wonderful living, and I've been in it for over 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy it, and I got my kids through school with it, and I'm still making a living out of it with the pension, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I have no qualms about and I enjoyed every minute of it, to be truthful.
Great.
Except when I went 0 for 24, 25.
Well, those happen.
Or when you lose too many ball games.
You were with Philadelphia, unfortunately, during a time when they were not a real good team. You had some first division teams, but I guess Mr. Mack kind of lost the knack there toward the end.
Well, they wouldn't give him any help, the other clubs. We needed left-handed pitching. We got him a little too late in 49-50, you know.
Mm-hmm. Chance?
Chance and Kellner.
Oh, yeah.
And then Brissy, too. We would have had those in 46, 47, 48. I think we could have won.
Yeah. Well, you had some hitting. You had some solid batting orders, that's for sure. Well, Elmer, that's great. I appreciate your time. Would you like a copy of the magazine?
Well, I would.
Okay.
Please.
Would you like more than one? Would you like some for the kids or anything like that?
Yeah, you could send, because I have four kids, send me five or six.
Okay, I'll be glad to. I'll tell you, the publication, this is up to the editor. Sometimes I'll send him one and it appears 5 or 6 weeks later. Sometimes it'll take 5 or 6 months. It just depends on what he has else.
Right, yeah.
So as soon as it comes out, we'll send you a half a dozen copies.
Okay, fine.
And I really appreciate your time. I've enjoyed this. Like I said, when I was a kid, you were one of my probably three or four favorite players.
Okay,
and I really enjoy talking to you, and I appreciate your time very much.
Right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.